You're listening to The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast.
Is the Prime Minister actually saying that taxpayers should be on the hook when he breaks the law?
Going to take for the Prime Minister to have any respect for any laws in this country that may curb his out-of-control behavior.
All these deficits leading to nothing but burying Canadians in taxes.
Good morning, fellow Conservatives. Bonjour tout le monde. C'est un grand plaisir pour moi d'être ici en tant que chef du Parti conservateur uni de l'Alberta. It's great to be here as leader of the newest political party in Canada, Alberta's United Conservative Party. Folks, the key word in the name of our new party is united. Because united we stand, divided we fall. That's what we as federal conservatives learned over a decade of division when we handed office to the federal Liberals. And that's what we Alberta conservatives learned when we elected an accidental socialist government in 2015. We know this in Saskatchewan. We know it all across the country that we are stronger united. And so that is why 2 years ago I launched a campaign with a grassroots army of Albertans to bring together common sense conservatives, free enterprisers, a big tent coalition on the basis of our shared values to present a united alternative to the NDP in Alberta. And I'm pleased to say that free enterprisers of all kinds decided to focus on what unites us and not what divides us, to move together united, and 95% of the members of our two legacy parties voted yes to unity a year ago. Et à cause de cette décision, nous sommes bien préparés pour une élection le printemps prochain pour donner un choix basé sur le gros bon sens aux Albertains et Albertaines. So friends, we've done that in Alberta, and we did it federally. But unity never happens by accident. We can't take it for granted. We have to work every day in our movement to ensure its unity. Now let me tell you one thing about our friend, our leader, and our future Prime Minister, Andrew Scheer. I've known Andrew for nearly two decades. I'm proud to call he and Jill close friends. In fact, I'm godfather to their oldest daughter, Grace. I don't think I'm a very good goddaughter, but she's a great goddaughter. I'm not a great godfather, but I do my best. Grace and the five kids, they are just, what a wonderful family they form. But friends, I know this about Andrew Scheer. I knew him when he was a young staff member on Parliament Hill, helped him with his first nomination, and saw him perform as deputy speaker and as speaker. Know him personally. And I can tell you, I can think of nobody who I trust more in Canadian politics. This is a man of profound decency, honesty, and principles, and he, I believe, would make a great Prime Minister of Canada. Je connais personnellement Andrew Scheer comme un homme de principe, un homme d'intégrité, qui, je crois, a donné un leadership fort, intelligent, prudent à nous autres comme le Parti conservateur national. Et je crois que Andrew sera un grand premier ministre du Canada. Et nous sommes tous réunis pour appuyer Andrew Scheer comme notre prochain premier ministre, n'est-ce pas? We are all united in supporting Andrew. Friends, one of the reasons I am so grateful to Andrew for his leadership is that he has been a tremendous ally for us in Alberta in fighting for our resources. You know that Alberta has the blessings of nature. We have the third largest oil reserves in Canada. What a fantastic asset that has helped to turn Alberta into an engine of Canada's prosperity in the past decades. And we Albertans are generous. Through federal transfers, we have contributed over $200 billion to the rest of the Federation in the past decade alone. And we don't mind sharing much of our wealth with other parts of the country when times are good in Alberta, but they are bad elsewhere. But what we cannot tolerate are politicians like Justin Trudeau and the Premier of British Columbia who stand in the way of the development of the resources that are the source of that prosperity that we share across the country. Parce que nous avons une valeur dans nos ressources naturelles en Alberta, qui sont les ressources canadiennes, qui est le troisième plus grand ressource de pétrole au monde. So here's the point, folks. The world, according to all the experts, has a growing global demand for hydrocarbon-based energy. And of course, in the future, with technology, we hope that will begin to change. But for now, there is a growing global demand for these resources. And that demand will be met. The question is by who? Either that demand will be met by Canada with the highest human rights, labor, and environmental standards on Earth, or that demand will be met by the world's worst regimes, by the OPEC dictatorships, by the Bolivarian Socialist Republic of Venezuela, by Vladimir Putin's autocratic Russia, by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia that treats women like property instead of people, or Iran, which stones gay men for the crime of their sexuality. Friends, let me say this. I believe the world needs more Canadian energy so we are less dependent on the world's worst regimes. So yes, this is an economic question. It's almost an existential question for us. If we as a country with over $1 trillion of public debt, with massive unfunded liabilities for pensions and healthcare, if we want to pay off those debts, if we want to pass on to future generations a standard of life that we aspire to, si nous voulons avoir les richesses pour garantir un niveau de vie, de prospérité, des services sociaux, de santé publique. Si nous voulons toutes ces choses, il faut que nous développions nos ressources naturelles d'une façon responsable au plan environnemental. Oui, c'est vrai que c'est une question existentielle pour l'économie, pour la prospérité, pour les emplois, pour monsieur, madame, tout le monde dans notre pays. Mais c'est également une question morale. C'est une question de si le Canada, avec les meilleurs bilans de droits des personnes, environnementaux et droits des travailleurs, si nous fournissons les ressources de l'avenir ou nous laisser au pire régime au monde les marchés energetic. So yes, it is an economic question, but it is also a moral question. And those of us who defend Canada's oil and gas resources and the jobs and wealth that are tied to it are also defending human dignity, human rights, and the highest environmental standards in the world. Make no mistake about it. Mais nous avons un premier ministre qui ne sont pas d'accord. Nous avons un premier ministre qui n'est pas d'accord. Nous avons un premier ministre, Justin Trudeau, qui, avec son homologue Jerry Butts, fait tout que possible pour nuire à l'industrie énergétique du Canada, pour bloquer les pipelines, pour arrêter notre accès aux marchés internationaux. In our Prime Minister, we have a man who is doing everything he can to undermine the prosperity and future of our energy industry and the jobs that hundreds of thousands of Canadians depend on. Let's be clear. It was not a market decision by TransCanada Pipelines to cancel the Energy East project. And it was a result of decisions by the Trudeau government, they decided to force that company to take responsibility for up and downstream carbon emissions. Now, folks, a pipeline doesn't produce carbon emissions. A pipeline just ships energy. And here's the perverse thing. They put TransCanada out of business, and with it, by the way, the dream of energy independence that would have allowed Western Canadian oil to supplant foreign oil imports in Central and Eastern Canada. And with it, they have forced Eastern Canadians to continue to depend on Nigerian and Venezuelan and Saudi and American oil, as opposed to supporting our own economy. This makes no sense. But those foreign oil imports, including those from the OPEC dictatorships, well, they don't have to take account of their carbon emissions. So this is actually a policy by the Trudeau government to support foreign oil imports from some of the world's worst regimes. This makes no sense from a federal government that at the same time gives massive corporate subsidies to companies that produce airplanes and automobiles that actually do produce carbon emissions. Friends, we Albertans are generous, but we as Canadians want fairness in the Federation and simply the ability to share our energy with all Canadians from coast to coast. Et ça, c'est la raison pour laquelle nous demandons que le gouvernement libéral retire le projet de loi C-69 et C-48. By the way, it wasn't just the federal Liberals canceling Energy East. One of the very first things that Justin Trudeau did was to cancel an already approved pipeline, the Northern Gateway pipeline. And now he has legislation before Parliament to make that permanent, with a ban on the BC northern coast for tanker traffic. There's no ban on foreign oil tankers coming into Canada, but there is a ban on Canadian tankers taking Canadian energy to the rest of the world. This is perverse. And do you remember the Keystone XL pipeline? It was vetoed by President Obama a week after Justin Trudeau became Prime Minister. President Obama didn't dare do that when Stephen Harper was Prime Minister of Canada. And Justin Trudeau's response to this American decision to block our energy exports was to wave the white flag of surrender. So he surrendered to the cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline. He killed the approved Northern Gateway pipeline. He is banning future exports from the northern BC coast. He killed Energy East, and he is doing nothing to overcome the illegal, unconstitutional opposition of the socialist government in Victoria to the export of Canadian energy. So, friends, let me be clear. Canada is an economic union. Ça a été le rêve des fondateurs de la Confédération il y a 150 ans. C'était de créer un espace de libre-échange au nord de l'Amérique du Nord. Mais nous avons maintenant un gouvernement provincial qui prétend avoir le pouvoir à prévenir les exportations des produits énergétiques du Canada de notre côte ouest. So we now have a socialist government in BC, which is claiming that it has the right to determine what products we as Canadians can export from one of our country's coasts. Well, friends, in the face of that, Justin Trudeau has done nothing except end up driving a global company, Kinder Morgan, out of Canada and forcing taxpayers to buy a pipeline. This is where we are now at. And so, friends, this is one of the reasons why we need a federal Conservative government led by Andrew Scheer that will stop these attacks on Canada's energy independence, on jobs and our prosperity. We need a federal Conservative government that will undo these policies and that will allow us to achieve the dream of energy independence, to develop these resources, to show the rest of the world how it's done, and yes, to sell Canadian energy to the rest of the world. On a besoin de ça. So friends, I also am so excited that Andrew Scheer has taken up exactly the same commitment that we have made in Alberta. For 2 years, I've campaigned on saying that if we are elected as an Alberta government next year, bill number one in the legislature under a future Conservative government will be the Carbon Tax Repeal Act. I want to thank our good friend and ally, Scott Moen, before him, the great Brad Wall, for having led this fight. And I am so excited that we have been joined by Canada's newest Premier, Doug Ford. Doug and I had breakfast yesterday, and I'll tell you, we got the beginning of a bit of a bromance there. We were finishing each other's sentences. I love it. That common sense has come back to Queen's Park. Good on you, Ontarians. And I can't wait to sit down at the Premier's table with Scott Moe and Doug Ford to say that we are going to stand up for common sense and Canadian taxpayers in fighting the Trudeau carbon tax together, ensemble. Nous allons le faire. So I'm so excited that Andrew Scheer has said that bill number one of a future federal Conservative government will be the Carbon Tax Repeal Act. Because let's be clear, these carbon taxes, they're all economic pain and no environmental gain. The proponents even admit that. You know, the fellow who invented the NDP's carbon tax in Alberta said that if other jurisdictions outside Canada don't impose their own carbon taxes, it will simply lead, our carbon tax will lead to, quotes, carbon leakage, which is what self-styled smart people say happens when investment goes to other parts of the world. It doesn't reduce global carbon emissions, it just reduces Canadian jobs. Now, let me be clear. Forcing widows on fixed incomes to pay more to heat their homes, forcing working women and men to pay more to fill up their gas tank, to take the kids to hockey practice or to go to work, that's not an environmental policy. That's simply a policy for more government control over people's ordinary lives, driving up the cost of living when it's already too high. And that's why we Conservatives are on the right side of history in saying that we will liberate Canadians from these destructive job-killing carbon taxes. Friends, I just want to say a last word about my experience over 5 years in Stephen Harper's government as a Minister of Immigration and 10 years as Minister of Multiculturalism. Notre chef a parlé, je crois, d'une façon très intelligente hier soir au sujet de diversité et des valeurs les plus importantes dans l'histoire du Canada, celle de liberté. Mesdames et messieurs, les gens de partout au monde ne viennent pas au Canada pour vivre une colloque sur la question de diversité. Ils viennent au Canada pour devenir les Canadiens et les Canadiennes, pour être les héritiers d'une grande tradition de liberté qui a été créée par nos institutions et nos traditions, par une certaine culture politique. Friends, folks from all around the world who dream of coming to Canada don't want to come here to live a colloquium on diversity. They come here to become Canadian. They come here to become Canadian. To become Canadian, to be the inheritors of a great tradition of ordered liberty, created by certain institutions like parliamentary government, like the rule of law, like respect for human dignity, our values, our institutions, and our customs. So when Justin Trudeau says that there is no such thing as Canadian identity or Canadian values, he could not be more wrong. The reason the world, people from around the world, dream of becoming Canadian is because of our customs, our institutions, our culture, and our values. Et ça, et nous autres, les conservateurs du Canada, nous sommes les champions de cette tradition dans les politiques canadiennes. We are the great champions of that tradition of unity in diversity. Canada was built by the underdogs of history, from our First Nations people who have suffered great dislocation, but who have maintained vital communities in the northern half of North America for millennia. Aux Canadiens français, qui étaient, on peut dire, les perdus de l'histoire avec la conquête. To the United Empire loyalists who were refugees from the American Revolution. To the Highland Clearance Scots who settled Cape Breton. And to the potato famine Irish. To the Jews of the pogroms of Europe before the Second World War and the survivors of the Shoah who came after it. From the refugee, the Mennonites who came here facing persecution and settled southern Manitoba and parts of northern Alberta, to the Czechs of 1968 and the Hungarians of 1956, and to the refugees who join us today, like the some 20,000 Iraqi refugees who I welcomed, the people who were facing genocide and ethnic cleansing, to the gay Iranian refugees who have come to Canada's safety as a result of a program that I created. Altogether, these people may have been the losers of history in their own countries, but they did not bring to Canada a sense of resentment. They brought to this country a sense of hope, a desire to look forward, a desire to be united, a desire to be Canadian. We are the champions of those people, of those underdogs of history, and it is our job to ensure that Canada once again presents to them a future of equality, of opportunity, the great champion of human dignity in world affairs. It is up to us to do that in the year ahead. I hope you're up to the task. So let us get that done. Let us do the hard work. Let us elect a majority conservative government. L'année prochaine, un gouvernement majoritaire conservateur. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you for listening to The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast. To find more episodes, interviews, and in-depth discussions of politics in Canada, search for The Blueprint on iTunes or visit podcast.conservative.ca.